The gospel lesson is found on page 881 in your Bibles. The Holy Gospel of our Lord Jesus Christ according to St. Mark.
Glory to you, Lord Christ.
And one of the scribes came up and heard them disputing with one another, and seeing that Jesus answered them well, asked him, "Which commandment is the first of all?" Jesus answered, "The first is, 'Hear, O Israel, the Lord our God, the Lord is one, and you shall love the Lord your God with all your heart and with all your soul and with all your mind and with all your strength.' The second is this, 'You shall love your neighbor as yourself. There is no other commandment greater than these.' And the scribe said to him, 'You are right, teacher. You have truly said that he is one, and there is no other but he. And to love him with all the heart and with all the understanding and with all the strength, and to love one's neighbor as oneself, is much more than all whole burnt offerings and sacrifices.' And when Jesus saw that he answered wisely, he said to him, 'You are not far from the kingdom of God.' And after that, no one dared to ask him any question." The Gospel of the Lord.
Praise to you, Lord Christ.
Heavenly Father, we are grateful that we can come together in your presence to worship you this morning. We are able to do so because you have made it possible through your Son, Jesus, and it is in his name that we gather. Lord, this morning in particular, we ask that you would speak to us through your word, to write on our hearts the assurance that you have for us in Christ. We pray it in his name. Amen. Please be seated. I'm sure you have heard the expression, "no pain, no gain." It's a homespun way of saying that most things that are worth accomplishing will involve some measure of difficulty and sacrifice in the process. We know that to be true even with normal things, don't we? The goal of dropping a few pounds may involve sacrificing dessert after dinner. So much for that second piece of chocolate cake, right? What a sacrifice. The goal of having a treehouse in the backyard may involve the sacrifice of time and energy to build it, not to mention the multiple trips to Lowe's or Home Depot for more supplies. The key in all of those things, of course, is determining the proper sacrifice that is going to help you reach your particular goal. This past week, Randy Heaton and I were sacrificing ourselves in trying to repair the heating unit out here in the hallway. Having hot water spraying all over us, realizing that this was going on right over some electrical controls. We thought this might not be a good idea. We decided saving a couple of dollars was not worth sacrificing our lives. Not every goal is worth that ultimate sacrifice. So we stepped back, and yes, I called the professionals, and they took care of it right away. Well, as we continue our series on the perfection of Jesus, today's epistle lesson draws our attention to the perfect sacrifice made by Jesus to provide for our salvation. There were some very good things which could be accomplished only by what Jesus did for us by offering himself on the cross, and only by Jesus being the one who made that sacrifice. In these four verses, we hear about the unique character of the sacrifice Jesus made, as well as the superior impact, the good things he accomplished. In the first two verses, we hear about the unique character of the sacrifice made by Jesus. Beginning in verse 11, we read, "But when Christ appeared as a high priest of the good things to come, he entered through the greater and more perfect tabernacle, not made with hands, that is to say, not of this creation, and not through the blood of goats and calves, but through his own blood, he entered the holy place once for all, having obtained eternal redemption." It helps to remember at this point that the high priest entered that innermost section of the temple only once per year on the Day of Atonement. And he did so only after offering some very specific sacrifices for his own sin as well as for the sin of the people. But that's something that happened every year, with other kinds of sacrifices being offered throughout the year. The long-standing pattern of the Old Testament sacrifices served a purpose, but they always remained limited in what they accomplished. As instituted by God, the sacrifices made by the Levitical priests were done repeatedly for that very reason. It involved more of a ceremonial cleansing than a moral cleansing, a cleansing that lasted only until they did something again, calling for more sacrifices. Well, when Jesus offered himself as a sacrifice for our sin, it was his own blood which was shed. As we heard last week, Jesus gave himself as the Lamb of God without spot or blemish. The description of him being holy, innocent, undefiled, reminding us of other descriptions of Jesus, like that from John the Baptist at the very beginning of Jesus' public ministry. When he saw Jesus coming, he declared, "Behold, the Lamb of God who takes away the sin of the world." And from the Apostle Paul, who wrote, "God made him who knew no sin to become sin on our behalf." And from the Apostle John, we have an advocate with the Father, Jesus Christ the righteous, and he is the perfect offering for our sins. And from the Apostle Peter, are you getting the idea? This is a pattern, folks. For Christ also died for sins once for all, the just for the unjust, in order that he might bring us to God. When we think of what Jesus did for us, we cannot get away from the fact that it was very costly to him. It wasn't a matter of giving up some livestock. It was a matter of Jesus giving himself. His body being broken, his blood being poured out, his anguish of taking on himself your sin and my sin and the sin of the whole world. Because of the unique character of his sacrifice, it was not lacking in anything. A once-for-all sacrifice that never needs to be repeated, and by which he made provision for our eternal redemption. As Leon Morris points out, redemption is the process of setting free by the payment of a ransom price, in this case, the death of Jesus. His once-for-all sacrifice is the provision for our eternal redemption. Well, in the last two verses of our lesson today, we hear more of the greater impact of the sacrifice Jesus made on our behalf. Continuing at verse 13, "For if the blood of goats and bulls and the ashes of a heifer sprinkling those who have been defiled sanctify for the cleansing of the flesh, how much more will the blood of Christ, who through the eternal Spirit offered himself without blemish to God, cleanse your conscience from dead works to serve the living God?" The sacrifice Jesus made of himself, shedding his own blood on the cross, has a deeper and more complete effect. Having offered the sacrifice of his own blood, Jesus entered that holiest of holy places. He has entered into more than a representative place, the earthly temple made by human hands. And his is not a one-day entrance, but an eternal abiding in that place. He has entered into the very presence of God, seated at the right hand of the Father as one having completed his work. Therefore, the sacrifice of Jesus does not need to be repeated because it is completely sufficient. It is finished. Through his sacrifice, therefore, we have redemption that is eternal, forgiveness that is forever, relational standing with God that is secure in Christ. That is the how much more impact of the perfect sacrifice Jesus made of himself on our behalf. That means when you and I and anyone else puts our trust in Jesus who made that perfect sacrifice, we can rest assured that there is nothing partial about his work. The cleansing of our conscience as recipients of God's gracious forgiveness allows us the freedom to serve the living God. Not only is our separation from God transformed into redeemed relationship with God, we are transformed to live as new creations in Christ in ways that promote God's interests in this world and bring glory to his name. That being possible because he has made it possible through his Son, Jesus Christ, who gave himself as a sacrifice for sin. And the implications reaching into eternity as we look forward to our home with him in heaven. This past Thursday on All Saints Day, we were reminded of the scene described by the Apostle John, the vision he was given of heaven and the multitudes of people standing before the throne of God, those cleansed by the blood of Christ, praising God and the Lamb who was slain for them. The perfection of Jesus' sacrifice being clearly demonstrated by the ultimate fulfillment of that magnificent promise. Today, being designated the International Day of Prayer for the Persecuted Church, we have brought to mind those currently enduring all manner of suffering because they have that same faith and that same hope. Trusting in Jesus and the perfect sacrifice he offered once for all gives them the reason and the courage to hold fast to him. They are people with names. We rejoice that the American pastor Andrew Brunson was released from Turkey after being held for 2 years on made-up charges. But there are many others still suffering because of their faith in Jesus. One person in particular is 15-year-old Leah Sharibu. She was among those 112 schoolgirls abducted by the terrorist group Boko Haram last February in Dapchi, Nigeria. I don't know if you know the story, but of that number, one girl escaped, six died in captivity, and 104 were released in March after negotiations with the government. One girl, Leah, has continued to be held precisely because she has not been willing to forsake her faith in Jesus Christ. Last month, those holding her announced a deadline of October 18th for Leah to renounce Christ. If not, they would kill her. On October 27th, the group announced that they would release Leah if they were paid 100 billion Nigerian naira, a ransom equivalent to $270,000. This past Thursday, November 1st, the government said they are doing their best to ensure Leah's release without going into a lot of detail of what that meant. Meanwhile, Christians throughout Nigeria and all around the world are praying for Leah, as am I every day. I invite you to take this insert home with you today as a reminder for you to pray for her as well. As you pray, let Leah's trusting commitment to Jesus Christ inspire you to deepen your commitment to Christ. Let your sure and certain hope in Jesus and the perfect sacrifice he offered of himself on your behalf enliven your freedom to serve as his faithful witness. remember this, whatever sacrifice you make in the process will never compare to the eternal weight of glory yet to be revealed. Let's pray together. Heavenly Father, we thank you for the reminder today of the provision you have made through your Son, Jesus Christ, who offered himself as the perfect sacrifice for our sin. Lord, it is mind-boggling to us, and at the same time, it fills our hearts with gratitude. It shapes our wills to desire to love him in return. Let that be so. Let us grow in our faithfulness to you as we stand firm in our faith in our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. We pray this in his name. Amen.